a case of what goes around comes around.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Exactly. So that was a lot of information thrown
at once.
That
was, but also very, very interesting.
It is really interesting.
That's amazing.
Shall we take a little bit of a break? And when we come back, you'll be covering vampires, right?
I am ready.
Ooh, I'm so excited. So you've been listening to The Graveyard Shift with Jason and Abby here on 91.3 WHJE. Don't worry, we'll be right back.
I've composed about 8 right now. There's still a bunch in the works.
Reese Tofoe, Barry sax player in Wind Symphony 1 and amateur composer. This is one of his pieces called Equilibrium.
Well, I've always liked to create things of my own. Like, since I was little, I've always been obsessed with drawing. And even, I remember when I went to the doctor when I was little. Actually, you know how they have paper laying down on the tables? I drew just this really weird random structure thing on it in like 5 minutes, and when the doctor came in, she gave me this really weird look and told my mom that I was going to be an interesting person when I grew up.
You're listening to 91.3 WHJE Carmel, the voice of the Greyhounds.
Hi, my name's Christina Hernandez. I'm from Chapman University. We're in Orange County, California. And I think that you should attend Chapman because there's so many opportunities for you to specialize in whatever your passions may fall and really explore a lot of exciting new areas, whether it be in film, some in the arts, something in the sciences. We have 120 different areas of study and an exciting place to be a student.
More interviews from different schools in WHJE's College Rep interview series can be found on WHJE.com.
Want to hear your favorite song on WHJE? Call in during any live show and make a request at 844-4570. Now, back to the music.
Can't stop shaking, lean back, let it move right through ya. Hallelujah. And say your prayers, say your prayers, say your prayers.
Hello, and welcome back to the Graveyard Shift here on 91.3 WHJE. If you weren't with us before the break, I'm Abby.
I'm Jaishna.
And we just covered the story of Maine's Malaga Island, where they evicted a colony of mixed-race people from the island to build vacation homes. But it seems like the island had ideas of its own. So that was kind of spooky.
Not kind of. It was very spooky.
But the sad thing is, it's an exact copy of history repeating itself, because the yellow journalism and everything is still happening today. The racism and elitism and nativism is still happening today. But let's go into a story of something that's not really happening today, but was an absolute epidemic a couple hundred years ago. Jaishna,
yes,
you ready?
Yes, I am.
I'm excited.
So, both European and many non-Western traditions have some version of the vampire.
Ooh.
The Vampire Diaries. Hotel, what's that? Hotel Transylvania. Transylvania.
That's such a cute movie.
That was a really cute movie.
But these vampires are not like that.
They're not like that at all. The fears were particularly strong in 17th and 18th century Europe. The 17th century monk, Antoine Augustine Calamet. I feel like that's kind of like that one actor.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's it. I love him.
Maybe he's a time-traveling monk.
You know, maybe. Huh. Well, anyway.
We'll never find out.
Calmet described reports of the interdead noisily feeding on their own flesh.
Huh.
There was nothing else to eat in the grave, I guess.
I hate that. I hate that I wrote that sentence.
The vampire often appeared as a regular person, sometimes appearing long after death, and very good-looking in most cases. Victims were left exsanguinated or drained of their blood and pale. A corpse was deemed a vampire if it was insufficiently decomposed, looked robust, or most importantly, if it was full of blood, pouring from the mouth and nose.
Oh, ew.
I know, that's a really disgusting image.
Ugh. Yeah, let's not think about that.
It often seemed that the beard had grown or that the body groaned when palpitated. That's still very disgusting.
Yeah, but isn't that like what happens during that decomposition?
Yeah, because there's like, I don't know, something in your joints
rigor
that like...
Rigor mortis.
Yeah, rigor mortis. And like...
It's like when you try and open a door that hasn't had WD-40 on it, it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I am a door handle.
Most likely, the vampire myth stemmed from ignorance regarding the process of decomposition.
There it is.
6 feet underground is significantly cooler than the air, which we now know slows decomposition. Blood coagulates and pools after death, but can remain in its liquid form for a long time in an airless environment of a grave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. That makes a lot more sense. A brown fluid may seep from the nose and the mouth. Facial hair hasn't actually grown, but may appear longer as skin retracts. As for the groaning, air can escape through the throat if pressure is applied to the body, as in a stake through the heart.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Oh, no.
With time and new advances in medicine, connections between illness and the mythical creatures often found in folklores and stuff, that's all ceased. But many strange superstitions and macabre rituals were all too common before then.
I did so much reading about this, and there's so many I didn't put into part of the story because they
it was
are
just too much.
It's too much for your nice leisurely. This is already too much for your nice 2 o'clock in the afternoon drive.
You know, we're just educating them on the ways of the world,
because a lot of people have heard the stories of like vampires and everything, but do you really know where that comes from?
Yeah.
No. And that's what I want to do with this. I want you to be like, oh, I'm scared of the dark. Well, this is where it comes from, and this is because like with education you can fight fears, even things that are like
this
slightly irrational like vampires, people still have fears about that, and my whole goal is to be like, don't worry, we can fight that with education.
Exactly.
So it's just kind of fun. And also
it is
really
it
creepy.
Is fun but also really creepy. So
tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis ran wild in the 1700s. This infectious disease has affected humans since ancient times, but really took its toll during the 1780s through New England, then known as consumption because of the way their victims wasted away.
Oh, that's such a
bad way to put
it. But it's such a genius name.
Yeah.
because you hear in all these movies, like, oh, they caught the consumption. And it's like, are they just really hungry? It's like they're just like coughing and dying in the corner. Yeah. And you're like, that is not hunger. That is something else. But no, that, I think that's a genius name for it.
The disease began to spread and infect entire towns. By the year 1800, 2% of New England's population had perished from the disease. Nobody yet knew that consumption was spread through the air, so when one person in a family contracted it, it didn't take long for other family members to follow.
Oh. And because it doesn't spread from, like, bodily fluids or anything, you're like, I'm in the same room. What is happening?
Yeah. So it's caused by bacteria, and tuberculosis affects the lungs and is lethal if not treated. The disease is spread through the air when an infected person coughs, allowing the bacteria to travel to other people.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Those who contract the disease experience chronic coughing, fever, blood in their mucus, and weight loss. Bacteria was a new and largely debated concept at this time, and those who began showing symptoms of consumption were often sent out of cities to milder climates. While this sometimes helped alleviate the symptoms in the infected, it also helped to further the spread of the disease across the country.
Hey, want to know something cool about that?
Of course.
Do y'all know where a lot of them were sent?
Where?
To islands.
This is just a full circle, basically.
I know. It's like we planned that. But do you want to know another cool thing about an island? There's an island. Wow. Hello. Someone just whacked on the window and scared me. There is an island called Pavalia off the coast of Venice, which is known as the Plague Island. And the cool thing about Pavalia is that it's said that 50% of the soil is made of human remains because 160,000 plague victims were sent there to live out their final days and hours.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That is so awful.
It's really cool.
I can't
even
begin to, like, process.
But people aren't allowed to
visit. But I feel like soil itself is just very disgusting in general because it's like...
Soil itself is disgusting.
It's a decomposition of just, like,
bad things.
Yeah, of just things. So, but that is very disgusting.
Yeah. It's really cool, though. So if you're ever thinking about taking a nice leisurely vacation to Venice...
Don't.
Don't. Or just go by Pavalia because, ooh, it's weird.
So because of this, fear ran rampant throughout this entire time, and it was estimated that between 70 and 90% of the U.S. population carried trace of consumption in their bodies. Scared and helpless, people began taking drastic measures in order to help rid their loved ones of the disease.
It's almost like fake news.
It is fake news, honestly.
We are good at this.
We are. And this just shows how much, like, the world medicine-wise also has improved.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
And so began the Great Vampire Panic.
So began it. Nobody quite wanted to believe that the souls of their loved ones were draining those of the living, but that is precisely what the article was suggesting. Those who had died from tuberculosis were desperate to live again. Thus, they drained the strength out of their loved ones. The doctor suggested that burning the organs of the dead would help keep consumption from spreading. The dead were described as vampires, sucking away at the living until there was nothing left.
And that article is actually written by the man, I can't remember his name, and I can't find a document of his name, who inspired Bram Stoker to write Dracula.
I have read that book front to back.
Is it good? I haven't read it.
It's weird because it's like the first vampire.
So it's like the biting in the neck, draining of blood, not the disease.
And we have, this is a weird story, but like we have... One, my art teacher in elementary school, she was having like a book sale or whatever, and my family went, and it was like this, it's like an ancient old copy basically that we have of the book, and it's still in my house. I just have to find it. So it's like old. It's an old book.
And
It is, it's very fascinating. But
I might have to check that out because I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in what disease can do to populations.
Yeah.
That sounds really morbid.
No, but it's an important thing to
I want to know what it does to the folklore. Because it can do some weird things. Yes, witches. That was stemmed from disease.
Yeah.
This.
This.
Yeah.
So, according to these myths and stories, there were usually unmistakable signs when a spirit of the dead was preying upon the living. If a loved one had recently passed, it was vital to exhume the body and expect it. If liquid blood could be found or the body looked to be in better preservation than seemed possible, then a number of rituals needed to be performed.
That's when you start chanting in Latin, making noises.
Yeah, basically.
Whacking people with sage bushes.
Exactly. So some were relatively simple, like turning the corpse so it laid on its stomach. People believed this deterred the spirit of the dead from escaping from the grave. Others thought that the dead would still be able to come after the living unless their vital organs